It's Traveler versus the Volcano again today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. That Icelandic ash keeps spreading. The cloud will be stopping most flights in and out of Europe until tomorrow at the earliest. Meanwhile, here at home, merger is in the air. United is reportedly in talks with Continental. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live from New York. And Jeremy, I thought United was talking with U.S. Airways about a merger.
And Bill, it seems that may have been nothing more than a tease, something to perk up Continental's interest. Now, there are reasons a merger with Continental would be more useful to United than a merger with U.S. Airways. For one thing, it would greatly expand the global reach for both airlines. Continental has a big presence in Europe and Latin America. That would add to United's reach in Asia. That would create the world's biggest airline, which is something that's very attractive to those business travelers who are the ones that fill up those expensive first-class cabins.
Okay, so you get the business travelers. Any other merger benefits?
You get cost savings. Anytime you merge two big airlines like this, you eliminate a lot of overlap. Plus, it's estimated United and Continental could bring in $2 billion in extra revenue. The question would be, what happens to U.S. Airways? Because it's not a major global player on its own, and some analysts are already wondering whether it could survive if all of its competitors are getting bigger and bigger.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson, thank you.
Thanks.
This morning, General Electric said quarterly profits dropped 30% from last year, and Bank of America said profits fell 25%. But both of those numbers were better than forecasters predicted. And stocks in Europe are flat now, following yesterday's gains in New York. Asian shares fell today on fears that recovery will mean inflation and higher interest rates. The Shanghai stock market took an evolutionary step forward today. Marketplace's Scott Tong tells us Shanghai has introduced stock index futures.
Stock index futures are a brand new product category for investors in China. In the past, they could only bet on the market going up. Now they have the other choice. Arthur Krober manages the financial firm GavCal Dragonomics.
When everyone decides the stocks are going up, they go up really fast and without any real correlation to fundamentals because no one is able to, you know, make a bet on the other side.
Allowing in the other side, the pessimists who think the market will decline can reduce volatility.
That ought to cut the top off of some of these speculative bubbles that you've sometimes seen in the Chinese stock market.
By the way, this is what Krober calls a plain vanilla derivative, not one of those exotic products at the center of the financial crisis. Shanghai's hope is more financial products will lure more bankers and more financial firms and upgrade the ecosystem. The city wants to become what it considers an international financial center by 2020. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard. Vanguarding is an investment philosophy designed to help individuals reach their financial goals. Vanguard.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com.
Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner meets with Republicans today. He wants support for a financial overhaul bill. But can government actually prevent another bust or another Wall Street bailout? My guest is Roger Lowenstein, whose new book is The End of Wall Street. Good morning.
Bill, it's a pleasure to be on the show.
By end of Wall Street, you're talking about the end of an era when we trusted Wall Street to regulate itself.
That's right.
But now, Roger, banks have repaid their bailout money. The economy seems to be recovering. Stocks are back up. Are you still sure that Wall Street's heyday is over?
Well, some of the banks have repaid their money, not all of them. The real estate markets, which after all, where this problem really started, are still having a lot of trouble. It's not clear at all that we're out of those woods yet. And it certainly looks like the government is going to be more in the middle of the financial industry than it was before.
What do you think of the financial reform proposals in Congress now?
I think there's some good ideas. I think they try to do a few too many things. For instance, they try to create a new systemic risk regulator that's going to warn us in the future, advise the Fed. I'm not sure why we need two bodies, this body and the Fed. Adding another body, I think, might tend to create just another layer.
That brings up something I've wondered about. I keep hearing that, well, we've learned we can't trust the Fed, or we can't trust the SEC or these regulators or these ratings agencies. But with given the fiasco we've just been through, is it not possible that the Fed and these regulators could have a new mandate and new powers now? Could they be more effective?
Bankers make mistakes. Regulators make mistakes. What I would want to see, the new mandate in the legislation, is some speed limits so that when they make mistakes, they're not as harmful, the same way we have speed limits on highways. And I think the big speed limit we want is a limit on leverage, a limit on how much every financial firm can borrow.
But you wouldn't go as far as breaking up the big banks?
You know, I'm not afraid of big banks. I'm afraid of unsound banks. I'm afraid of overly leveraged banks. The risk, this little financial product subsidiary of AIG, you know, nobody was paying attention to that beforehand. It's leverage that'll kill you.
Roger Lowenstein is the author of The End of Wall Street. Thanks for being with us.
It was a pleasure to be on the show.
And Roger spent an hour chatting with Marketplace Money host Tess Vigeland. And you can hear that interview at marketplace.org. And finally, here's all the week's business news in a Marketplace Minute. Traveling to or from Europe is rough. An Icelandic volcano is spewing out stuff that makes flying an airplane mechanically tough. Iceland, haven't you done quite enough? Another hit to the solar plexus for Toyota, owner of Lexus. Take a turn sharply in their SUV, and your wheels could end up where your roof ought to be. Retail sales up, but inflation is not. Modifications to loans have done squat to keep housing foreclosures from going berserk. The Wi-Fi on iPads appears not to work. Corporate earnings turned out swell for both Intel and Taco Bell and J.P. Morgan Chase as well. Not Alcoa, their stock fell, but UPS had great success. And Conan said yes to TBS, because Fox impressed him less, I guess. While you're waiting for Coco's return to TV, watch The Minute at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.